Welcome to the Product Manager Asia podcast, where we dive deep into the mindset, tools, and stories behind leading founders and product managers across Asia. Whether you're trying to break into the world of product or looking to sharpen your product toolkit, we're here to learn about the secrets of the trade from product practitioners in Asia.
Hi there, I'm Frankie Le Nguyen, and I'm your host for the Product Manager Asia podcast. In this episode, we meet Iwe, who's the VP of Product at Property Finder, the Middle East and North Africa's largest real estate platform. Before his current role, Iwe was the Director of Product for TradeGecko in Singapore, a product manager for Microsoft in Seattle, and a UX researcher for IBM in Toronto. He's lived in 8 different cities, and his product journey spans 3 countries. In our conversation together, we dig through what he thinks are similarities and differences when building products in Dubai, Singapore, and North America. We talk about how to adapt B2B product management to B2B2C. We ask him how his role has changed from managing products to managing a team of product managers. And finally, you, our listeners, ask him a few audience questions. Let's get started. So thanks for joining us today, Iwe. Our first question is about your story. So tell us about how you became a product manager and what are some important lessons you've learned along the way?
Sounds great, Frankie. So I think it's helpful to get a little bit of background of how I transitioned into product management before we jump in. So I started off my career as a UX researcher. So my background has always been in human-computer interaction and user-centered design. My first job was actually as a UX researcher at IBM in Toronto, in Canada, where I got to be really, really, you know, hands-on, really deep into researching on how people interact with databases. And, you know, I was doing UX for, you know, command line products, which was really quite the experience. And then I moved over to Microsoft, where I was the PM for the developer division. Then I went and moved over to Singapore, where I started off as a PM and eventually became director of product at a B2B SaaS startup called TradeGecko. And I'm currently at Dubai in Property Finder, MENA's largest real estate portal, as the VP of product. So that's a little bit about myself. And going through the lessons of, you know, years in design and years in product, I feel like one of the most important lessons I've always learned is you always have to be a student and you always have to be learning, right? The reality is that product management is a changing field, and you know, we know that people don't often stay in a company for more than 3, 4, 5 years these days. So as you're moving around, and even within the same company, as you move around the company and working on different kinds of products, you always have to be learning about whether it's, you know, different personas and different customers and different technologies that can be applied. And the sooner you come to terms with the fact that, you know, you're not the master of everything and that you always have to be a student and a really, really good one at that, the better off you'll be in your product management career. And I would say that the second one is one, you know, that Peter Drucker really popularized in The Effective Executive, really talking about how before you manage anyone else and anything else, you first have to manage yourself. And I truly believe that to be the case with product managers. As a product manager, you always are out of time. You know, you always have 10 different competing priorities. Different people want to speak with you. You need to speak with a bunch of different customers. Always short of time. And you know, as product managers, we really have to be deliberate about how we spend our time, whether it's, you know, with people in the team or with customers or with the engineering team, with the design team, you know, looking in your calendar on a daily basis and understanding, you know, given the top 3 priorities that you have, are they reflected in your calendar? Are you spending 80% of your time on the most important things that you have to be spending your time on? First, managing yourself, really understanding how you're spending your time and your investments. It's a really good place for product managers to start off to be better, in my opinion.
Thanks for sharing your story and your background. I think we're going to dig into a few of the transitions you talked about. So the first transition I'd like to dig into is from going from a B2B product manager to a B2C product manager. What do you think are some surprising differences between both?
It's really quite interesting, right? I mean, I've always been a B2B product manager at Microsoft and at IBM and TradeGecko in Singapore. Moving to Property Finder in a more B2B2C role really introduced another aspect of things. I've always been a bit of a growth practitioner, right? Taking a look at how, you know, we can have referral strategies, figuring out different ways that we can experiment with different experiences to drive growth. And it's been actually really great to be in both a B2B and a B2C environment here in Property Finder, because all the things that I've been pushing for and preaching and actually coaching different companies on, I get to do on a very hands-on basis on the consumer side. So, you know, obviously there are key differences, right? The distribution channels, the way that people make decisions on, you know, what product to use in a B2B versus a B2C environment is so different, right? B2C in a B2C environment is very much about how people perceive you. I think your brand becomes really, really important. You know, your image in the industry and how people perceive you and how effective you you solve a problem for them for the first time is a very important thing that sticks in people's minds. Whereas in a B2B environment, people are a lot more deliberate with decision-making, right? Your decision-making process could be weeks, if not months. And people are a lot more, in some cases, functionality-focused, where they will even build up a matrix of all the functionality that they require, and you tell them if you know, something works or not. But I'll say one thing. You know, at the end of the day, I do believe that there are more similarities between B2B and B2C product management than there are differences, right? At the end of the day, what people are looking for, right, is for you to solve a real painful problem for them in a scalable way using technologies that will actually make a difference. And that doesn't differ between B2B and B2C, right? It's a bit of a mindset that you have as a product manager to say, you know, who am I solving this problem for? And can I identify that group of people who really are hurting? You know, what are the prioritized list of problems that they have? And how can I apply different technologies and solutions to help them get those problems resolved as quickly as possible? So I think if I were to look back, I actually think that while there are some differences and some nuances between the two, there are actually a lot of similarities as well.
Yeah, thanks for those insights. And I think the second transition that I'd like to dig into is a geography one. So you've been a product manager in both North America and Asia, and now technically part of Asia, but a different part of Asia. So what do you think is similar and what is different?
So I started off my career in North America, where the product management discipline is quite a mature one, right? I had a really good opportunity and real privilege to work for really, really experienced product managers who've been in the industry for 10, 15 years, who've really coached and taught me in a very patient way early in my career. I'm really happy that, you know, in North America, you have that level of community, that level of maturity, that level of mentorship that exists inside and outside of different companies, right? Just, you know, in any large North American city, you can basically tap into a network of really great people who you can just sit down, brainstorm, and have conversations about product with. And for the most part, they'll understand what you're going through. Asia, I think, is still in its early days when it comes to product. When I moved to Singapore 5 years ago, I would say that product management was a very new discipline. Very few companies were hiring for product managers. But over the last couple of years, things have really changed, right? You look at some really large successful companies, whether it's Grab or Gojek or Lazada, Zalora, all of them have grown and ballooned up in Southeast Asia. And the product management disciplines have also grown quite substantially in those regions, which is really exciting to see. So, you know, really great to see the growth that's happened there. I think it took a lot of work, a lot of community building that's gone into it, a lot of great work by the guys at Product Tank or Product Camp or General Assembly to really build up the product management discipline. Singapore just hosted their first Mind the Product conference, which was super exciting as well to see, you know, and real testament to how that discipline is growing. And as I move into Dubai, I moved here about 7 months ago, I would say that product management is a really, really new discipline. And I'm getting to see that, you know, all over again, but it's exciting, right? You know, we've had one of our largest exits ever in the MENA region with Careem getting acquired by Uber. And, you know, when these large companies start growing and blowing up, people from these companies, you know, learn product management skills and eventually spin off and start their own businesses or join other companies. I think that's where the network of product management actually starts growing. And it's great to see that coming and seeing that in this new region. You know, we just started a couple communities here in Dubai for products. We had a Product Tank meetup not too long ago, about 2 weeks ago, where we had 40 or 50 people coming in, all very passionate about products, not just product management. But I would say that, you know, we're still very, very early days here in the MENA region. And I'm really excited to see how this community and this practice grows, because, you know, obviously this is a hugely untapped market, a lot of key and big problems still to be solved. And it's great to see, you know, companies starting to emphasize and learn a little bit more about how the product management discipline can be a game changer in the way that they build products and take products to market.
I was lucky enough to attend the Mind Product Conference, so it's super exciting to see where product is headed. I strongly feel that the next generation of product thinkers and product thought leaders will come from Asia. Thanks for sharing your insights from the three different geographies. And I think the third transition that we want to talk about is your personal transition from being a manager of product to a manager of product managers, which I think can be a challenge for many. So what are some insights that you have there? How has your role changed as you progressed upwards?
With product management, you know, you as a product manager, you're so obsessed, right? You're obsessed about your metrics, you're obsessed about your customers, you're obsessed about an area of your product, and you own that, and you're really proud of that, and you're really excited about that area. When you become a people manager in product management, I think it's really important for you to take a big, big step back and remember that you're not there to solve the very specific product questions that come onto the table, right? You know, I believe that as a leader in product management, your job is not to, you know, nitpick on the specific interactions that someone's put together, or you know, you're not there to make very specific product decisions for every squad. But really, you're there to provide a level of coaching, a level of mentorship, and in a sense, build the system that builds the product and build a team that builds the product, right? You know, I have a team of 10 right now here in Property Finder where, you know, what I don't want to be doing is on a daily basis going in and parachuting in every team and making decisions for every team. What I want to be able to do is to build the highest performing team and making sure that we're making decisions in the right way and the best way that solves real problems for our consumers and customers, and also, you know, drive business results at the other end of it, right? I also believe that when you become a manager of product managers, you also are responsible for stringing together different products, different product lines in your company, right? We operate in a B2C and B2B marketplace at Property Finder. It's a two-sided marketplace. You know, we have multiple product lines just within the B2B realm and multiple product lines within the B2C realm. And so it's really important for us to step back often to see how all of that connects with each other, how they contribute to a loop, right? How are we going to get more transparency inside of the marketplace? How are we going to get more consumer engagement in the marketplace? And as a leader in product, I think it's really important for you to be that driver, to bring the teams together and bring the vision together in a stronger manner.
Cool. So we're going to dig into more specific questions now. So I'd like to know, what is a contrarian belief that you have about product management?
You know, if we were to play back product management about 10 years ago, right? Like, I'm just trying to recall my days as a product manager, arguably at a much larger enterprise. The focus was very much about delivery, right? I remember spending hours and hours talking about, you know, different methodologies, whether it's Kanban or Scrum or whatever it may be, really spending a lot of time figuring out how we can do, you know, better sprint planning and how we can and run our team a lot more effectively. I think as a product manager back in the day, it was very much about delivery and how we can focus on delivery first. I think that's really changed over the years, right? I believe that over time, the product management role has become a lot more of a business role, where product managers are not just measured on, hey, your output of how many features can you push out, how many story points can you push out, but really about what kind of business impact you're driving, right? And I think that as we look into the next 5, 10, 15 years, it's only a natural transition, right? Where if we have, you know, really good common practices already on delivery, that we can move on from the conversations about the operations to really exciting conversations about how product managers can make prioritization decisions and make big business bets on how they can move the business forward. So I really do believe that product management will continue to become more of a business role first than a tech role or a delivery role. And I'm really pumped actually to see that transition, because I do believe that that's where product managers can actually add the most value.
So you mentioned quite a few different frameworks and models, prioritization, delivery, discovery, et cetera. What are some product frameworks or models that you can't live without?
You know, the one that I find myself always falling back into in conversations I'm having with my product managers is the PIRE metrics, right, by Dave McClure. You know, the R metrics, as they call it, where you break down acquisition, activation, revenue, retention, referral. You know, it's not about following the framework particularly religiously, but I think it's a fantastic conversation starter, right? oftentimes when you're analyzing and breaking down a product problem, you need to understand where in this funnel are things broken, right? If you're looking at your metrics and you realize that the product is not performing, why is it not performing? Is it because we're not getting people to discover the product? Is it because when they first land on the product that they don't know what to do with it? Is it because, you know, they may be super successful, but we don't have a great way to bring an additional 2, 3, 4 users back when, you know, whenever someone is super happy with your product, right? So I think it's, for me, the framework has been a really good conversation starter for pretty much every product conversation that I've had from a high level. And then as you drill in, obviously there are other frameworks and methodologies that really help you dig a little bit deeper into solving specific problems. But I find that the pirate metrics really help start, you know, really great conversations with the product team.
You've been in a few growth roles, so it's no surprise that pirate metrics are really important to you. Yeah, so let's dig into some advice. Like, do you have any advice for anyone who's looking to break into the world of product?
What's helped me a lot, and in terms of, you know, when people have come to me historically and want advice on breaking into product management, the one book I always recommend to them is Marty Kagan's Inspired, How to Create Tech Products Customers Love. I think it's a fantastic starter. It gives you an understanding of the product management role relative to, you know, engineering and design and how it works in smaller companies versus big companies. I think that anyone who wants to break into product management should just, you know, take a week or two and just read through the book, because it gives you a bit of a starting point for a conversation. I think through the book, you'll understand that product management is about, you know, being obsessed about your customer. It's about experimenting as quickly as you can and learning from them, you know, by getting out of the building. And as you do that, you know, what I would do if you're thinking about breaking into product management, you may not be in a product role today, is to think about how you can apply that kind of thinking in your job, right? You know, you may be in customer success and support, and you're thinking about, you know, how you can contribute to product. Well, you know, you're the closest touch point to the customer. So how can you help boil down the highest priority items that customers care about, you know, figure out ways that you can solve it and work with your current engineering product team about perhaps experimenting on one or two of those, right? You know, we found that for people looking to break into the product, it's often easier to do it within the companies that they're already in, especially if you've already built a bit of a reputation and you know the customers really well and the problems that they're facing really well, because it's halfway through the door, right? Where it's 1 foot through the door, you know that space really, really well, and all you have to do is learn product management principles. Which, if you have a really good mentor and coach within the company, it's really helpful. I think that there are some great companies out there that have APM programs as well, associate product management programs, where, you know, going as entry level PM, really being mentored and coached, and you get to shadow some good PMs out there, is a really good way to get started for, you know, the first 6 months to a year of PM career.
I think working with your existing product team is another piece of advice that I would give to people. Like, a lot of product managers make decisions with limited information. And so if you're a UX designer helping them out with research, if you're an analyst helping them out with analysis, I think are great ways to help out product managers and learn the craft. And so I think the last part is something that we'd like to do differently and try something new. So we're going to go to audience questions, and we have two voice messages from our listeners that we'd like to bring on. So the first one is from someone called Mayur.
As a product manager, how do you manage the UX of a global startup across different regions, because the UX will change dramatically and the need of the user and the behavior changes dramatically? So how do you adapt to that?
So at Property Finder, giving a bit of background, right? I've said that we operate in the MENA region in 7 different countries. The short answer to it is there really isn't a shortcut. User experience and understanding how different users perform in different countries and what they do, there's no quick way around it. For us, there's a couple of data points that we use. We use metrics. We deeply look at, you know, how behaviorally people are performing differently, let's say in Dubai versus in Saudi Arabia versus Egypt. And it's really fascinating to see the difference on it. We try and get on the ground as much as possible. We send our UX research team. We send our product managers on the ground to the different regions to understand how people are using our products. And thirdly, because we are operating in a multinational environment, we also rely a lot on our local teams, right? Our sales teams and account managers are actively talking to their customers, and it's really important for them to relay that kind of feedback and information back to us in HQ. You know, what I'll say as well is it's so interesting. You know, you I think make some assumptions that just because people are from the same region that they'll start doing things in a very similar way. That's definitely not true. In our case, right, in MENA, we have really learned that the tech infrastructure is so different depending on where you are in the Middle East. Expectations are very different. The workforce population is very different. And we learned about really interesting things, right? To share a bit of an example, we learned that in countries and cities where there's a big disproportionate difference in the workforce between men and women, that who accesses our website, when they access our website, on what devices is extremely different, right? To give you an example, I found that while mobile experiences are super important for most of our products, that in some countries, because the largest population of the workforce are men, that men are the only ones who have access to desktops, and they're the ones using our product through the desktop, whereas women are actively using us on mobile. And because looking for a property is such a shared experience that you do with your family or with your spouse, that cross-device, cross-persona experience becomes that much more important. So, you know, I think it's really intriguing to be able to dig into different regions and different countries and how people use your products really differently. But what I would say is that it's a lot of work, and you have to be willing to look through the qualitative and the quantitative aspects of that in order to get it right.
Thanks for sharing that insight. It's super important to know your users and know how they're using your product, when and using what devices, and the job to be done is, which is not something we've touched on, but I know that you're a big fan of. So our second question comes from someone called Laura.
Would love to know your thoughts on product managers being visionaries versus task and delivery focused, very grounded, versus really pushing the innovation side within a team or in a company.
Thanks for the question, Laura. I think I touched on this a little bit, talking about how I do believe that the product management role is switching, right, to becoming a more of a business role than a delivery role. And let me elaborate a little bit on that. I do believe that, you know, one of the key success factors, one of the key factors for success for a product manager is actually how strong your engineering counterpart is, right? You know, when a product manager is so hamstrung on delivery and if the team is not performing well and the product manager has to be overly concerned about, you know, the output of the team, that's when you really can't focus on innovation and pushing the bounds and figuring out how to really be out there and challenge the ways that things are being done today. So, you know, when I first came in at Property Finder, one of the key things I really emphasize on is that relationship and that partnership with engineering is so, so important. And I do believe that when that is established, that's when product managers can be focused on building a vision. That's when they can be focused on pushing the innovation side. It's when a lot of the operational work is taken care of. So yeah, thank you for that question.
We're going to go through questions that were sent in by email. So we have a question from Saptarshi. What are the surprising differences in user behavior you've noticed in mobile product management at Property Finder versus web-based product management at TradeGecko?
I think, you know, one learning that we have is mobile is truly, truly taking over the world. This is not even an exaggeration. We see our mobile metrics really taking off, that, you know, the starting point and end point of people's search journeys when it comes to real estate, arguably the biggest purchase that you make in oftentimes your lifetime, is centered around mobile. And that's really exciting to see. Obviously, there are a lot of consequences and results of that, right? In mobile, people have a substantially shorter attention span. Everything has to be super fast and optimized. But it also opens up a lot of really interesting opportunities, right? We're thinking about how, you know, we can use, whether it's the camera or the new AR technologies or location-based experiences, to really deliver something that's quite different from what the base expectations are from a regular website that's on desktop, where you don't have access to these things, right? So I think it's really exciting to see how some of these new technologies could potentially disrupt our usual experiences when it comes to real estate search. And as I talk about how everything has to be really fast and optimized, you know, it's interesting to see how companies like Google have also really paid attention to this, right? Right now, they're really optimizing the search results for products and pages that are mobile first, that are fast, that are responsive, that it really shows the shift in the industry as a whole and the market as a whole towards first mobile experiences. So I think that that trend is going to continue to take off. And, you know, I think that as product managers, we really have to think about how we first deliver mobile first experiences that are best, that are quick and gets the job done in a much different way than how users will be able to do it on a desktop.
Thanks, Yiwei. So our last listener question comes from Ben. He asks, whenever I ask what is a weak point in the startup culture in Southeast Asia, one of the common reasons I get is that there is not enough product management talent. What do you think that actually means? Why is that? And how can we fix it?
Well, tech and startups are very new to Asia, period, right? I mean, if you look at Southeast Asia specifically, it's not a common discipline, right? When we were growing up and we were going through school, like no one aspired to be a startup entrepreneur or a founder or jump into tech even. You know, it's a lot more common for teenagers to talk about being a lawyer or a doctor than it is for them to be in tech, to want to be in tech. So I think there are a lot of historical reasons for why that is the case, but it's really great to see how that is very quickly changing, right? The computer science enrollment rates are through the roof in Southeast Asia. You're seeing more local talent than ever before, and I'm really excited to see that come through. But I think that really explains why I think tech talent is still quite short in Southeast Asia, and it'll take years for us to build that up. You know, where North America, you have longstanding programs like Google's APM program or Microsoft's new hire program, where they actually hire tech talent from university and groom them and coach them to becoming product managers. You still don't quite have that in Southeast Asia yet. And I think that's a really big difference, right? When you start, you know, building the talent from the ground up and they grow and they can eventually leave and start their own product practices or join another company, that's when you get the network effect of PMs who spin off and build those practices elsewhere and also help other people become better PMs, right? So it's almost a referral loop that hasn't yet taken off in Southeast Asia. But I think it will be. It'll just take a bit of time, but it's coming together, right? You know, and it takes everyone to do their part, right? I used to teach in General Assembly in Singapore with Frankie here, of course. And the product management discipline and seeing people coming in, not knowing what product management is about, and getting really excited, you know, at the end of 8 or 10 weeks about what product management can bring to the table, great feeling to have, and seeing people break into the discipline is really very satisfying. But at the end of the day, I think it's all about the ecosystem and the network. As we get big exits, whether it's you look at big companies like Grab that have done extremely well, companies like Gojek that have done extremely well, you know, when product managers in those companies spin off and join other companies and build those product practices, I think that's when we'll start seeing that take off. It's also great to see how in countries like Singapore, where there's an overemphasis and a big emphasis on bringing talent that has gone overseas to, let's say, the Valley, back to Singapore and bring some of the learnings that they've had in the Valley back to Singapore and building that up here. It's really great to see, you know, really strong emphasis on that because it's bringing the East and West together that I think will help Southeast Asia really leapfrog itself into some really interesting business opportunities and product opportunities that are untapped.
Yeah, it's very exciting to be a product manager in Southeast Asia right now. A lot of the best product managers are now being flown in, but there's a lot of like local homegrown talent that's emerging as well. So Yiwei, thank you so much for coming on board, for sharing your stories and lessons with us today.
Thank you, Frankie, for having me. It's been a real pleasure to be on this podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Product Manager Asia podcast. If you're looking to get access to all the tools and frameworks mentioned in this episode, or if you're looking to get into a new product role, be sure to visit www.productmanager.asia.